Today's message, some was probably going to go, oh, you have lost it, Keith. And I don't think I've lost it. I think I found it. Okay? And I title, if it's so simple in the physical, then why can't it be that simple in the spiritual? Okay? From pancakes to the scriptures, where we're going to go today. And let me explain the message. When I was in the Cub Scouts for just a short period of time, one of the things that you had to do is if you wanted a merit badge, then you had to do certain things. So the first time that I wanted this merit badge for cooking, I cooked pancakes. You know, I thought, gosh, I like pancakes. They're not that hard to make. I get a merit badge, so it's a cool deal. So the recipe specifically called for 2 cups of flour, 2 eggs, oil, baking powder, sugar, and milk. Now, thicker pancakes, you could put more or less in it. You know, you poured it in the pan, you put it on 350 degrees, and candidly, by faith, after you stirred up the mix, you poured it in, and by faith, you waited for the pancake to appear, okay? I mean, you didn't sit there and go, I wonder what the flour does. Oh, gosh, I wonder how come 2 eggs versus 3 eggs, or what's the oil? We didn't think about that. You just did what the book told you to do. You stirred up the ingredients, you set back, and by faith, again, you had pancakes in the pan. In her book that Gloria Copeland wrote, it was called God's Will for Your Healing. And she has a recipe. And I think some people will go, no, that's a bunch of nonsense. Well, okay, I'm following it, okay? And one of the things that it said is go to the Bible, which is important, and find a scripture that promises you healing. Now, healing could be physical, it could be spiritual, it could be, we talked about last week about economic, whatever your situation is, she's saying go to the book, go to the Bible. The Bible contains the promises of God. Find something that you can hold on to, okay? Second, take your stand upon that promise. Now, what do you do when you take a stand? That means I'm standing, I'm not moving. And you and I, the third, we have to confess out loud our faith in that promise. Now, think about that when we say confess it out loud. Fourth, you need to begin to act as though your healing is already done by looking at your situation not as it is, but as it is promised from the scripture that you have. And then the last is act in faith by speaking life into your situation and not death. Amen. Now, you know, candidly, Jesse the Planet said years ago, he said, you know, if you have 105 fever, Leon, you got 105 fever. It is what it is. But you don't have to claim it. You might say, I got it. Or it's got me, but I'm not going to claim the fever. And the thing that's important for us, one, is that when we go through challenges of life, you got to go to the book. The book's the most important thing that you and I've got. Amen. But don't go to the book just because you got in trouble. Study the book every day so that you know where to go when you have challenges in your life. Well, you know, I've gone through some deals recently, and one of the things that I started doing, I woke up the other morning about 4:30, opened up the book to Isaiah 53, and it talked about how I have already received my healing. It says, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, okay, I've been healed. Okay, well, am I going to really sit down like so many people do to go, well, wait a minute, wait. You know, that word actually means this, and in that word, if you look at it, it talks about a physical healing It is important for us to make sure contextually that we understand what the Bible says. But, you know, we've joked about it before. The Bible is so simple that it takes a theologian to mess it up.
Amen.
Okay? You and I have got to look down. Again, when we open up the book to make recipes, we don't sit there and tear those recipes apart. We just do what the book says. And if it's so simple in the physical, then why can you and I not get that way in the spiritual when it comes to the Word of God?
Amen.
Well, the other thing is that is hard, you know, is that if someone comes to you and you don't feel good, well, how do you feel? You go, well, I feel sick today. See, you and I have got to get to the place, and I've said it, and I quit saying it, but I'm going to start saying it, is if someone comes to me, and I'm not really where I need to be, and they ask how you doing, I'm going to go, I am so blessed and highly favored. Well, I'm not telling you that I don't have issues, because, you know, we all have issues in our life. But what we have to do in our life is to speak life into our situation and not death. You know, I joked the other day, on somebody said, oh, this recipe on Facebook is to die for. And I wrote back and said, please do not send it to me, okay? I do not want a recipe to die for, okay? If it's good, I want to eat it, but to die for, I don't want it. So again, if it is so simple in the physical, then why can't it be that simple in the spiritual? Now, one of the things we used to do is let people answer, and I want someone to respond. Mike, why is it so difficult today? If it's so simple in the physical, why is it so hard in the spiritual?
Because we complicate it.
Okay? We complicate it. Go look in the mirror. Who's the problem? The person that's staring back at you in the mirror. Okay?
Right.
Phyllis, what do you think? Why? Phyllis. Lois.
I can be Phyllis.
Will you be Phyllis today? Okay, here it is. It's my birthday. I'm 65. Okay, I might have forgot your name. Okay, so if I look at you, just respond. Okay, that's it. So. Hey, Betty, will you talk to me, please? So, Lois, why do you think it's so difficult?
Because we complicate about everything that we do. We don't find that. We don't look.
Okay. Okay. Margaret, what do you think?
Margaret. I think there's I think we doubt. I think it's a matter of doubting, or maybe not even believing that there is a realm that's all around us. That's the whole battle, spiritual. We try to fight it, physical, or we try to fight it in the flesh when it can only be fought
in the spiritual.
And so whenever you don't even realize that there's that spiritual realm.
Amen. Connie, what do you think? I remembered your name. Amen. Okay. All right. Don't we think?
I think it is like in a recipe, your results are right there. God, church, a lot of us fail.
Okay. You know, I think one of the challenges for all of us is you know, and it's what he just said, is that if you sit down, you can see your pancake being made. You know, you can really look at it to go, in just a minute, I'm going to pull out the pancake, and I've got what I wanted to make. I think the other issue is from what Mike and others have said, I think we try to complicate the issue. We want to be the theologian in the midst of Scripture. We want to tear it apart to go, it just can't be that easy. But see, I believe, honestly, that our God has given us the Word, and if our God said, then that ought to be good enough for us. We shouldn't try to tear it apart. If God says, I will meet every need that you have in your life, then you and I need to start taking a stand on that biblical promise. Mike. Amen. Well, I think Martha said it too. You know, one of the challenges is we try to fight today in the physical what we need to fight in the spiritual. And if you just want to fight something in the spiritual, in the physical realm, you're going to lose. I mean, Satan's going to beat you down. So it's important for us to really begin to stand on that word of God. When we began, we talked about you need to go to the book. You need to find a scripture in that book. And I know that some are going to go, well, that was only written for them. I still take the stand. And the Bible says everything that was written in God's word is for us today. Was it addressed to a specific individual? Yes. Was it addressed to a specific situation? Yes. But God is not a respecter of people. And by golly gee willigers, if it helped them, then it could help me. So you and I have got to know the book. We've got to sit down and contextually make sure that we understand what we're reading. But at the same time, find a promise and then stand on that promise. Every morning when I get up, the Bible in Psalms 91 says that he has given his angels charge concerning us. And I love the visual picture, but it says that he would pick us up. They would pick us up so we wouldn't hit our foot against a stone. And then I pray, you know, Lord, please station the ministering spirits around all of us today, and may they render service on our behalf. Well, it's a visual for me. I like that, and it's so awesome that God goes, I've got angels that are going to pick you up today, and they're going to carry you, and it's going to be okay. Now, in 1 John, here's one of the reasons I think it's really difficult. But in 1 John, it says, the one who practices sin is of the devil. Now, for you and me, when we begin to doubt the word of God, that creates a sin because you can't doubt the word of God. And we do. It says, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? So we understand that Satan comes in for one reason, but we also know that the Son of God appeared for the purpose to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Now, we've learned that truth is that which corresponds to reality. Reality is we've got one God, we've got one faith, and you and I have got one way. That's the spiritual reality of God's word. A belief is what you and I choose to be true. You know, you can choose whatever you want to be true, but an unbelief is when you and I begin to reject the word of God. If we don't believe the word of God, if we want to fight the word or fight the situation in the physical, and we don't fight it in the spiritual, then you've already made a choice. And your choice is you're stronger in the physical than God is in the spiritual, and then you're going to lose the battle. And all too often, people get mad at God. And God goes, I've been here. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. If you would come to me, I could handle the situation for you. Now, we ought to know that the devil has a task. In John 10:10, the scripture tells us that the thief, what is a thief? A thief is one who comes and takes, and he doesn't want you to know that he took it. But a thief comes for one reason, only one reason, that's to steal, kill, and destroy. And you can talk about stealing dreams, you can talk about killing, you know, ideals. You can talk about destroying, whatever you want to do with those three words, but we can't capitalize on the top. We need to think in the spiritual on the bottom portion. Our God came for one reason, so that you and I might have life.
Amen.
And have it in an absolute abundance. Now, Psalms 23, he said he anoints our head with oil. And he does it in the presence of our enemy, and it says that our cup overflows. We've got a God that is a God of not just enough. And, you know, some of those are quickie little statements that you can, but I really want you to think about that. Our God is not a God of just enough. We've got a God that will give you more than enough. Scripture says that God will do more for you than you could ever ask or ever imagine. That's the kind of God that you and I have. Now, truth, again, is that which corresponds to reality. Belief is what we accept to be true, and unbelief is when you and I make the willful decision to reject the Word of God. Case in point, you got a bill that comes in and you don't have the money to pay, and now you start to worry about it. I never do those kind of things. I don't worry, okay? Yeah. But in all honesty, truth is what God says. And he says, I'm going to meet your need. So if you've got a bill that comes in, you can believe what you want to. No, you don't have the money to pay for it. But God does. So unbelief is when you would reject the statement that God says, I will meet every need that you have in your life. Pam and I had some bills to get paid, and I don't know what happened or how we got to the point, but she started looking online at some things, and we were given reward points on a credit card. Pam's like, what is this? So she started checking, and it was $300-something later is what we ended up getting, and it went toward the bill. And I'm like, how cool is that, man? I don't even know that we got it. God will meet the needs that you have in your life, and it's not the way you're going to think, okay? Now, 2 Corinthians, and this is important for us. He says, I'm afraid, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray. And what Mike said at the very beginning, we confuse the situation, but it says we'll be led astray for the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. We can't make this that difficult, church. You know, truth, again, is that which corresponds to reality. A belief is what you accept to be true. Unbelief is rejecting the Word of God. Now, if you make pancakes and you go, well, I really don't want to put that in it, I'll put, which I did, I made cornbread the other day, and, you know, I thought Pam said in this little white sack was baking powder. It's baking soda. I do not have to tell you how cornbread tastes with baking soda. It did not taste very good. Kind of looked good in the pan. It rose up pretty high, you know. I scrubbed the grill with it after we got finished eating, but, you know. But again, the key to this is truth. What is truth? And what is your belief? And what is your unbelief? Now, James said, submit therefore to God. I don't care where we are in our life. I don't care what situation we're going through in our life. You have to submit yourself to God.
Amen.
Now, Larry, what is the word submit to you? Kind of like your relationship with Jackie. When she tells you to do something, you just do it.
To give in totally.
There it is, Larry. Give in. You might get a pie after a while on that one, Larry. Amen. Jackie's like, yes. Daryl, what do you think? What is submit?
Submit for me is when you sit there and say, God, the physical did is supposed to be possible. The doctor is possible. You laid on my heart.
Okay.
Say, God, whatever you want, I'll do.
Amen. Leo, Nancy's not here, so be bold. Just surrender. Surrender. B, what do you think?
I was thinking surrender.
Just surrender. You know, what do? You know, like when we raise our hands, or, and you've seen it, and I know that's probably not a political thing today, but, you know, that you want to do. But, you know, if the police or somebody, since somebody puts their hands up, it's surrender. It's like, I give up. And I think that you and I have got to get that place to God just to go, okay, I give up. Alex. Okay. Well, and I do. I think that you have to get to a place to surrender, to go, God, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it. Yeah. I've tried to do it. I've messed it up. I can't get it done. And what you and I have got to do is submit ourselves to God. But when you submit yourself to God, it says resist the devil. That's why you're going to have to stand on something. And you know, we talk about the term unbelief. There is no really unbelief. Unbelief is rejecting the Word of God. But in all candor, you're believing in something. You're either going to believe in what Satan says and the world says, or you're going to believe in what God says and the book says. But we believe in something all the time. But we have to submit to God, totally surrender ourselves, with the understanding that if we resist, then that scripture says the devil has got to flee. Amen? Amen? Okay. Now, Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul,
amen,
and some of which is in me. See, you know, it don't say nothing about some. It says all,
yeah,
that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all of your iniquities and who heals all of your diseases.
Amen.
Now, we've laughed about it, but in the original language, the word all is interpreted to mean all. Now, here's my question. If by faith we can make pancakes, but why can't we believe by faith that God will provide every need that we have in our life, that he will forgive us from every sin that we have ever committed in our lives, and that he will heal all of our diseases? Why can't we get there? And here's one reason. We're in the way. Is we put our faith and we put our trust in us. And you see, our Christian life is not about us. It's about what God did through Christ for us. It's about the works of the cross. It's about God knowing that even though we went up there, we would not have fulfilled the requirements of somebody that was a perfect sacrifice. That would not have happened. But Christ was the perfect sacrifice, and he accomplished everything that God asked him to do. And that's why on the cross he says, Daddy, I've done everything. My work is finished. And then he gave up himself, and he went to be with the Lord. So again, if the Bible sits there and truth is reality, that's the truth. That's the Word of God. And the Word says he will pardon all of your iniquities. He will forgive you of all of your sins, okay? He will forget none of his benefits that he's asked or said or promised, and he'll heal all your diseases. You and I need to start standing on those promises that God has given us. Now, in 2 Corinthians, he says, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds are going to be led astray for the simplicity of the gospel. And that's one of our keys. If you think Satan's going to just boldly walk in and stand in front of you, that's not the way he operates. He's going to be very crafty about what he does. He's going to be very, very sneaky. It says the thief. A thief wants to operate in the darkness of the night. He doesn't want anybody to see. And all of a sudden, you're living in a life that you shouldn't be living in, and you've been led astray for the simplicity, and you and I want to get real theological in this to go, well, now let's just tear this down. When I went to the seminary years ago, which I found out, you know, was cool, but we talked about the literal day theory, okay? Which meant when he said that the world was created in 7 days, did that mean 7 days? Or was that the statement that a day is like 1,000? Was that 7,000, you know? And we bantered back and forth on that for a week. And finally, I stood up in class and made this statement, which I found out was not real cool. I went, who cares? Who really cares? If it's 7 days or 7,000, I don't care. God created, and that ought to be good enough for you and me. Amen. Now, John 8:32 says, and if you know the truth, truth is that which corresponds to reality, the truth will make you free. Amen. We fall into unbelief. We reject the Word of God. And when you reject the Word of God, you're being led astray. It's almost like the goat that they left out into the wilderness, but they led the goat out into the wilderness. They let him be the sacrificial offering out there, and the sins were supposedly put on him. You and I've got to get to the place to go, I know the truth, and I'm going to stand on that truth. I'm going to speak that truth. And there is life coming out of my mouth. I am not going to speak death in any way, shape, or form.
Man, hallelujah.
And we need people in our life that will help us do that. Because sometimes I'm telling you, when you just get beat down, you're beat down. And we want to do things right, but sometimes we just don't get there. Because sometimes we're searching for an answer that we're never going to find. When I have the pleasure, and y'all are going to go, that's weird, Pastor, but when I have the pleasure to do a sermon for a funeral, I advise everybody, do not open the what-if game. Because it's like, what if I did this? What if I did that? That's a game that you should never start because you'll never finish the game. What we have to do is stand on that truth. Resist the devil, but stand on the truth. Now, again, the truth is the truth. The truth is not going to change. God's word is just as reliable today as it was when it was written years ago, and it will be just as reliable till Jesus comes back. There is not a word that's going to vary in there. There's not a promise that's going to fall in there. There is nothing going to change because God's word is the same. Why? Because he's the same God today as he was back then and as he will be tomorrow. So we have to stand on that word. Second is unbelief is rejecting what God says is true. Now go back to that original passage. He says, I've forgiven your sins. How many times have you guys had a difficult time to go, I just can't believe God would forgive that sin? Well, we have. I mean, you know, we do things that are stupid. We say things that are wrong. And then we go back and go, God just couldn't. And my response is, then you're telling me that God died on the cross for no reason at all. And no, I wouldn't say that. Well, we in our prideful way, and you go, that's not pride. No, that's pride when we think that we know something better than what God has done. So a belief is what you choose to be true. Eve was deceived by the serpent's craftiness, and so are you and I. Her mind was led astray. And it was led astray from the simplicity, but also the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it is the truth that sets you free. Do you think Satan wants you to know the truth? No. Because he wants to hold you in bondage. You know, if God says, that's again, that's good enough for us, but Satan doesn't want you to believe what God says. So he begins just like he did. He distorted the truth. And I promise you that there are people in churches all across America today that will distort the truth. And you and I need to open up the book. We need to sit down and look at the book. And you and I just need to go, if that's what God said, then I'm okay with it. Bottom line, no more and no less. You know, one of the things about speaking in tongues, everybody wants to tear that apart. Well, how do we know it's a true language? How do we know this? How do we know that? The Bible says that if someone speaks in tongues, then it is interpreted by two or three. It doesn't say that they're going to stop that. They're not going to say they're going to take a recording. It doesn't say we're going to take it to a linguistic. We're not. It doesn't say that. It says that if someone speaks in tongues, then it is for the edification of the body of the church, and if it's done correctly, two or three would interpret it. That's good enough. Why do we want to tear it up? Because in our mind, we go, we just can't get there from here. Has it been abused? I am positive. I've seen it abused. But what you and I need to do is to pray that this church will always stand on the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Acts 4 and 13 says, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and they understood that they were uneducated and untrained, they were amazed, and they began to recognize them as being with Jesus. See, what the world needs today, I was talking to somebody last night, and, you know, sometimes we get so religious that we're of no earthly good.
Amen.
You know, someone was asking for something, and they had said, well, you know, a lot of times when I ask questions, people just want to feed me scripture. Well, I'm not saying that that's bad. But when Solomon was there, and he was making the decision whose baby it was, he didn't quote, well, you got to honor your father and your mother. He didn't quote, he said, well, let's just cut the baby in half. It was just wisdom. And the mother of the child said, no, 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 give the child to her. It's okay. And Solomon knew that that was the mother. And sometimes, church, people just need to know that we've been with Jesus. They don't need to know how much you know. They just need to know that you've been with Jesus. And they can look at you to go, whoo, that person been with the Lord. It says, but Peter and John answered and says, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. Now, I'm telling you that as we go through the anointing, as we talk about spiritual gifting, people are going to say that we're off track. Okay? That person came back again. That's okay. I was looking at my watch a little while ago and said, oh, Lord, please not let that be my watch. It just went off, man. But it said, whether it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, it says, you be the judge. But it says, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. And church, if we're going to stand on the Word of God, we cannot stop doing what the Word of God tells us to do. We should not care what they think. And honestly, I don't care what people think. in regards to the Word of God. If my God says that there is a gift of tongue, then I want the gift of tongue. I want the exhortation to the people. And if it's interpreted by two or three people, then we've done it biblically correct. We go, God, thank you for showing up in church today. Says, and when they prayed, here's what I, if y'all want to give me a birthday present, here's my birthday present. Show up at 8 o'clock in this church and pray. Because it says, when they prayed together, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak the Word of God with boldness. I know people that are solid Christians, and they'll go, well, you know the man upstairs. No, I don't know the man upstairs. Who's upstairs? You know? I mean, if you and I can't get to the place to say the word Jesus, then there's something wrong with our relationship with the Lord. When Pam and I go out to eat, we say prayers. If someone hears it, I'm going to bless their food at the same time. But you and I have got to get to the place to speak the Word of God with boldness. Maybe what we speak is what that person needed to hear. And that's why God put us there. Now, here's how I want to kind of wrap all this up. The woman who had the issue with blood. Now, it says she'd had a hemorrhage for 12 years. I mean, you know, the ladies are going, oh, my gosh. But, I mean, seriously, if you were a woman and you were hemorrhaging for 12 years, I mean, you were kind of at wit's end. Now, it says, and had endured much at the hands of many of the physicians. Now, I got to tell you, if the physicians were just messed up as they are today, back then, God bless that woman. That's all I got to tell you, you know. But then it said, and had spent all that she had. She must have been under some health care program that we got today, okay? Spent all that she had, but the situation grew worse. Now, in all honesty, how do you keep going? When we're standing on the Word of God and the situation is getting worse, how do you do it? Well, here is my answer. In Mark 5, it says, after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd. Now, in those days, if a woman was bleeding, she could not get because she was seen as unclean. But here's a woman that came up from behind in the crowd. She's touching the crowd. And then she touched Jesus. God forbid that you and I have the boldness to touch Jesus. And then it says, for she thought this, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. Church, you and I are going to have to push through the crowd. We're going to have to push through the crowd of doubt. We're going to have to push through the crowd of those that say that you can't. We're going to have to push through the crowd that says, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to fight against you. I'm going to speak against you. And candidly, you're going to have to fight and push through those who are going to place obstacles in your road. But see, the key with this is just like the woman, she pushed through believing by faith that if she touched the Word of God, she would be healed. Amen. And you and I have got to get together We've got to pray. And if there's a need in this church, you and I have got to get to that place to go, I'm just going to push through with the Word of God. What happened? Immediately, the flow of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus perceived in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd, and he said, "Who touched my garment?" Now, church, I said last week that when the power of our prayers intersect with the power of God, he's going to go, "Who just touched my garment?" So here's the recipe. Find a scripture that addresses your specific situation. It might be money, it might be sickness, it might be children, it could be strife. I don't know what it is, but find the scripture. And then you need to take a stand of faith on that biblical promise. Now, you think Satan's going to try to push you off? Yes. Bible says you can build your house on sand. When the storm comes, it's going to fall down. Or you can stand and build it on cement, and it's going to be okay. Second, or third, it says confess out loud. Why do you want to confess something out loud? Scripture says faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. So you and I need to sit there like the one passage in Isaiah 53. I've been saying it. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. When doubt comes in, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I've been healed. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the Word of God. And then remember that there is life or death in the power of what you speak. And then by faith, and this is hard, but by faith you have to act that you're healed. Now, church, here's my question. If we by faith can make pancakes, just imagine what we could do by faith with the simple and the pure supernatural power of God. Amen. 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 Give God a hand clap of praise.